This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio, and thank you for joining us on this battlefield called life. And maybe you're joining us for the first time and wondering, who is Blazing Grace? Well, we are an international ministry to persons who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery. We work with men, wives, couples, and youth. We have people who come to us for help from ages 10 to 80. We offer counseling by Zoom and in person here in the office in Chandler, Arizona. And I also have a guy, Tim Peterson, who leads our men's ministry and also does counseling, and he is in Arkansas, and he offers counseling there. And then Sandy England does groups for wives, and we have a team spread out across the U.S. and also into Europe. We have a guy in the U.K., whose name is Arwell, who leads a weekly Zoom meeting, support group for men, and a weekly prayer meeting for everyone, men, women, anyone who wants to join up, because we're a big believer that prayer, especially prayer meetings, should be a part of every believer's life. And I talk about prayer a lot and how prayer meetings are missing from the church. In many churches that we visited, they're never mentioned, and if you look on their website, if they even have one, it's buried somewhere. And my take is the prayer meetings be right there out front and center. The early church was devoted to prayer, teaching, and fellowship. Those three, those were their top three priorities. Prayer gets dropped from a lot of believers' lives and a lot of churches' itineraries. It should be right there at the top. And we also offer a conference, a one-day conference called From Porn to Grace. And this runs usually from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. I come out and I lead it and equip you on what it looks like to break free from sexual sin and to heal. And there's healing tips for wives. And I talk about youth, our desperate need to reach youth. So I would really encourage you, if you're in a leadership position at a church or a ministry, think about this, and I don't charge for this. If it's out of state, we just ask that you pay for our travel expenses. But the need here is fantastic. It is great in this area in a time when 70% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women, are struggling with pornography, as a George Barna survey showed the end of last year in 2024. So there are a lot of people struggling and in bondage to this stuff. I also lead retreats. So if I've led men's retreats, wives' retreats, couples' retreats. So this is all available to you. And you can go to blazinggrace.org for more information on us and what we offer. And if you're struggling, don't sit there and lay back in the weeds and suffer. Reach out and get help. Now, one of the biggest mistakes people make is they try to do it on their own, and that does not work. Believe me, I know. I tried. The last thing I wanted to do was have to tell somebody, but in the end, that's the only way through, is we got to open up, we got to share our weaknesses. But I know that many Christians are not safe to share with. I've had experiences of myself where I shared something with a pastor or whoever and got reamed for it when I was struggling years back with porn addiction. And so we do have to be careful and use wisdom with who we talk to. And I will be scheduled to be in the UK in middle of October, then in Europe. So if you're in one of those countries and would like to schedule a meeting or event, please contact us. And again, go to the website and send us an email. And for those of you who are listening, we love to hear from you. It shows us that people are listening. Love your feedback and your comments. If there's any ever questions you want us to answer, let us know. So, and by the way, my 23-year-old daughter, Becca, is here with me too, and she's just kind of hanging loose for a minute while I go through some of this stuff. So I'll be bringing her into this in a moment. So I've talked about having long COVID. I'm 3.5 years into this, and the symptoms can come and go in waves. They get stronger when I pour out more. And so about three weeks ago, they got really strong. Just the fatigue was debilitating. And then there's the mental effects with the depression that can cause or the anxiety it can cause. The neurological effects are very real. The 1 week, I was really having a hard time breathing. And the enemy knows how to play that. He knows how to attack the emotions. Somehow they know how to piggyback onto when somebody's going through something, whether it's long COVID or anything like that. They know how to attack the emotions. And so part of my journey has been learning how to discern between, okay, what is the physical and the chemical, and what is spiritual warfare. And Sunday is often my hardest time of the week. So a couple of Sundays ago, and it goes on all day, I woke up and my brains felt like scrambled eggs, having crazy thoughts, go to church, feel a little better, but still some of that going on during the church, going to church, come home, and then praying in and out of through that. And sometimes with spiritual warfare, it's not a 5-minute one and done. And I can usually tell when it's warfare when I keep praying and to shut it down and it finally stops. And then I know that it was warfare and not chemical. So I share this in part with you because sometimes we think that, well, I'm feeling depressed or I'm feeling anxious or whatever. It's not necessarily always you. The enemy knows how to come against you. He knows how to mess with your mind and your emotions. So I've learned that I need to be discerning. Okay, God, is this me or is this the enemy or what is this? And the thing is, if we start buying into, let's just say depression, let's just say, oh, our mind is getting bombarded with thoughts of like, you know, this is so hard. Life sucks. I don't want to do this. And my marriage is hard, my family, blah, 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 or my kids are going south on me, or whatever it is, or financial pressure, and you just start wrapping yourself around that. And the next thing you know, you're in this place of horrible bitterness, and then you wake up, how did I get here? So we have to be very aware of what's going through our mind, what kind of thoughts we're allowing to float through. And one thing God is reminded me of is from James 1, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will be given the crown of life which God has promised him. And sometimes warfare or whatever is a matter of just brutal, ongoing fighting, battling, and refusing to give up, remembering that God, you are there, just like you said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? Where we are living in his presence. He is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us. And we live in a time when the enemy has been given a lot of ground in the church and all over the country, not only the U.S., but all over the world. And so you can expect, if you're a true sold-out Christ follower, you're going to get hit with this stuff. So when I'm going through, I'm sometimes praying, I renounce depression, I renounce anxiety in the name of Jesus. I command any evil spirits to leave my presence and to go where Jesus sends you to go. I renounce and cancel every assignment of the enemy against me, including any hexes, vexes, spells, witchcraft, curses, or any of their effects. Or I'll pray something like that. Sometimes I pray on the armor of God. But we have to be very aware that the enemy comes to us, and he's not going to announce his presence so that we're loaded and know how to deal with it. So don't always assume that everything you're going through is just you or just circumstances. And so with long COVID, I've learned a lot about prayer and how powerful it is, and also about endurance. And there's time this morning, often the morning before I broadcast these shows or record these shows, this morning my brain was scrambled eggs all over again. You just keep praying and you just keep going. You keep showing up. You ask for other people to pray. I hope you're not isolated and alone like 80% of Christians are. I hope you have somebody who you can pray with, because this is such a very critical thing. And on the way to the station here, Becca and I were praying about this show and about covering and about God's wisdom and discernment and prayer and passion. Prayer is spiritual power line to the Christian life. And a lot of believers will never hit this power line because they think the Christian life is about going to church on Sunday and getting your little God hit, getting your little doctrine hit, and you go home and you're done. But where the Christian life is lived out is during the week, when the enemy comes at you, when you're tempted, when you're tempted to light up pornography, when you're tempted to gorge on a quart of ice cream or whatever it is, or when you're tempted to turn to bitterness or resentment or hatred. There's times I'll get attacked, and all of a sudden these thoughts are coming to my mind with hatred and evil and bitterness and disgust. And I know this is not my mind, my brain chemistry firing all this stuff off. This is the enemy, and I'll say in the name of Jesus, I renounce hatred, I renounce bitterness, I renounce resentment, judging, or anything connected to any of that. You have to be aware as a believer, you have the authority of Christ. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Go read Ephesians 1 and 2. You have this authority in the name of Jesus to shut down the work of the enemy coming against you. And one thing that boggles my mind sometimes is I didn't learn most of this about spiritual warfare in a church. I can't remember ever hearing about the authority in Christ and having an extended discussion. In fact, I can remember some well-known national pastor, I'm not going to name his name right now, but I'm sure you would know him, who said, we don't have authority in Christ. And how can you buy into that when you read Scripture? But also I know from personal experience and getting attacked and shutting it down, overcoming, that we do have this authority. We are seated with Christ in the heavens, and you are meant to be an overcomer and a fighter, but you have to stand up and fight. You can't just sit there and get your butt kicked. So I'm going to read a section from Oswald Chambers, his book, My Utmost for His Highest. He talks about the glorious difficulty of the Christian life. If we are going to live as disciples of Jesus, we have to remember that all efforts of worth and excellence are difficult. The Christian life is gloriously hard, but its difficulty does not make us faint and cave in. It stirs us up to overcome. Do we appreciate the miraculous salvation of Jesus Christ enough to be our utmost for His highest, our best for His glory? And to me, what comes to mind, if you want to go all out for God, you're going to attract the attention of an enemy who wants to keep you cowering in fear in the corner, or wasting your life on things that don't matter, or retiring and spending your last 20 years ditzing around the house and doing nothing. It is hard. It is hard days when and the COVID hits, and I'm like, I don't have the energy for this, but God, give me your strength. And He comes through. And I'll continue with Oswald. God saves people by His sovereign grace through the atonement of Jesus. And it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Well, we have to work out that salvation in our everyday practical life. If we fail, it is because we have not yet put into practice what God has placed within us, like prayer, like soaking in His Word, like standing up in spiritual warfare. A crisis will reveal whether or not we have been putting it into practice. So if you get wailed on by the enemy and you crumple, that shows you're not standing up. If we will obey the Spirit of God and practice in our physical life what God has placed within us by His Spirit, then when a crisis comes, we will find out that our own nature, as well as the grace of God, will stand by us. And I have experienced this many times when I had zipped for energy and He came in, or I was getting wailed on and He gave me the strength to stand up, or He gave me the understanding or the wisdom on how to pray in that moment, because we don't do cookie-cutter prayers in warfare. Sometimes the attack comes in a different way. And then continue with Oswald, thank God He gives us difficult things to do. When's the last time you heard that? Salvation is a joyous thing, but is also something that requires bravery, courage, and holiness. We got to stand up and fight and not sit there and wallow in pleasure and comfort and hours on our smartphone and binging on porn and watching seasons full of The Chosen and having a lukewarm existence and not pouring our lives out for God. Bravery and courage and holiness, it tests us for all we are worth. Jesus is bringing many sons to glory, and God will not shield us from the requirements of sonship. There's a cost. Sunday Christian, that mentality ain't going to get you near. And there's a lot of people not even going to church. Their priorities are all jacked up. We are commanded to be a part of other believers. God's grace produces men and women with a strong family likeness to Jesus Christ, not pampered, spoiled weaklings. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to live the worthy and excellent life of a disciple of Jesus in the realities of life. And it is always necessary for us to make an effort to live a life of worth and excellence. And I would add to that, pour your life out until the very end. It takes effort to spend an hour a day in the morning, every morning in God with prayer and time in His Word. And I'm blessed that I can do that. Usually I'm up around 5:30 and I'll have a good solid hour with God, and that really sets my day in the right direction. Just about 95% of the time, warfare prayers are involved, and I don't even wait anymore. So the Christian life comes at a cost. It is not easy. It is not God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and that's it. We're done. As soon as you cross the aisle into Christianity, the enemy knows who you are, and he was very happy to keep you wallowing in a lukewarm spirit, just really happy and content and watching movies and Christian TV and whatever it is, just whatever it is, so that you don't actually get out there and start pouring out and making an impact. So, Becca, what's your take on all this?
I think what you said was great and right on the dot. I mean, I've seen you use this, and I've seen that God is working through your life and that you're actually making a difference, and you've shown me how to use it, and I have used it. And I think every believer needs to learn it, and it's very important. And like you said, I've never heard a church talk about that, any of this. And that's kind of worrisome, but that probably means that maybe they aren't using it, or they don't know how to. Not saying every church, but maybe a good amount, which if they don't know how to deal with spiritual warfare, I don't know how strong their church is or how much of an impact they're making. Because I remember you telling me, if you're not getting hit with spiritual warfare when you're doing something that involves like doing some ministry work, like, are you really making an impact, or you get worried sometimes because are we on God's path? Are we doing it for Him? Or are we doing it for us? Or So
what does it look like? What are some stories about when you've got hit? What does that look like? And how do you deal with it?
I've gotten hit with anxiety a lot, and just remembering that I'm in my own head and Satan knows how to get in there too, and overthinking a lot. And so just remembering that God is with me all times and that he brings peace and not worrisome or that's not of him. So just continuing to remember that and praying through it is really important.
What does praying through it look like?
Like you said, renouncing it and saying, this is not of me, this is not of you, please take it away, Lord, and doing it in the authority of Christ. Sometimes having to do that again and again, but it works every time.
Yeah, and you mentioned doing it again and again. I think some people think this is warfare is a one-and-done thing, but it isn't always that way, is it?
No, because you're still alive, so and you're still a believer, so it's going to happen until you die, I feel.
What I mean is some battles you have to keep praying and shutting it down, and they just go on. Sometimes you've got to shut them down and resist the enemy two, three, four times, or whatever, in an hour, I don't know, half hour, whatever it is, because this is war, and the enemy doesn't play fair. There's no rules here, like, okay, you told me to leave, bye-bye, right?
Right, and it shows your strength in Christ, and it also shows that God's strength is real because he provides every time for it. So, but yeah, persistence as well. You being persistent through it and not giving up.
Do you have any specific stories otherwise of what getting hit looks like for you?
Well, just the main one that I remember is before trips or something that we would go on and just, it would just be like sudden. Like, I can't go. I shouldn't go. I don't want to go. And then it was just fear that just flooded like everything. Like, I couldn't think straight. Like, why am I afraid? And then telling you. And then you would ask me, why don't you want to go? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And you're like, this is warfare. So that was my earliest and fondest memories of getting attacked for the first time.
And in youth group, did you hear much about warfare? What it looked like? And
No. Unfortunately, no, I have not.
And yet I think this is a critical topic for youth because the enemy comes at youth, early to trying to get them off the rails, right?
Yeah, that's when you're developing and learning a lot of things. So it's easy for the enemy to just make you think that, oh, it's just anxiety and depression, like you said. But if you're not aware of the spiritual side of it, then you think it's only you. But everyone's going through it, I feel like. But no one knows, or no one's aware of how the spiritual realm is real and present.
Well, from reading the scripture, the spiritual realm is more real and carries more weight than what we can see. What comes to mind is when Elisha asked, I forget whoever, maybe it was his servant, he asked God to open his eyes, and he saw, I think, myriads of angels and chariots and on horses and in a blaze of glory, and so I often, what does it look like when we pray? I kind of wonder, it must really light something up somewhere when we do that. There's more power, I think, that we know. So, the glorious difficulty of the Christian life. What would you tell to somebody who's struggling right now, in any way?
In any way, just take a step back and look at the situation. If it is spiritual warfare, it hits out of nowhere sometimes. And you have to think back, why am I getting these thoughts? Take every thought captive and filter it through scripture and what God says, and then take it to him.
Dang, that's good. I wish I'd have said that. That's pretty good for a 23-year-old girl, right? So we're at war, my friends, and these topics we're talking about, I talk about spiritual warfare a lot. This needs to be up front and center in the time we're living in. Thank you for joining us, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.